Welcome back to WGN Radio here on Sound Sessions. This is your host, Mike Heidemann. Art is the closest we can come to understanding how a stranger feels. A quote by the late Roger Ebert, Chicago's very own, and some might say one of the greatest movie critics of all time. Films have a way of encapsulating feelings, love, and sometimes downright horror. Chicago has an unspoken duty to maintain and showcase this culture. Luckily, we have the Midwest Film Festival, which has recently announced a new executive director who not only has created some of the best journalism in Chicago, but also has her foot in the door of the film industry. We welcome the hardest working person in the biz and WGN radio host, Amy Guth. Amy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. Glad to be here.
Congratulations on the new appointment.
Thank you.
Could you share a little bit about the story of the Midwest Film Festival?
Well, it was originally founded in 2005 by Mike McNamara and Mike Quelford. Mm-hmm. And so it's really established this wonderful legacy in Chicago and in the Midwest. And so it's really all about showcasing work done in the Midwest or by Midwesterners. And so, you know, that's kind of case by case basis because mm-hmm. say that your entire film is set in Iowa and you produced it in L.A.
Yeah.
Right. But it's set in Iowa. Okay.
It has that connection.
Yeah. That's Midwestern. If your crew is from here and mm-hmm. it's filmed here, that's an easy one. Like, no doubt. So but it's really all about what's happening in the Midwest. You know, personally, I have long bemoaned the fact that so many very talented people do such wonderful work in Chicago, but then they get poached by New York or LA, mm-hmm. and that's perfectly fine. I have long bemoaned the fact that so many very talented people get poached by New York or LA, and mm-hmm. that's perfectly fine to build that career and go that route. But I want to make careers sustainable in Chicago mm-hmm. creatively, no matter if it's film or art or music or whatever. I know so many talented people that struggle so hard just to make ends meet that they don't have a lot of time for their art. And mm-hmm. so I think anything to support creative endeavors, storytelling in any form, is a worthy endeavor, is a worthwhile thing to do. And so I'm really excited about the work that the Midwest Independent Film Festival has done so far and excited to build on that.
Yeah. So what is your background with film or the Midwest Film Festival in itself?
To me, film is an extension of journalism in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So I work in the documentary space, and to me, it's just another platform for storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I think some really wonderful journalism has happened on film. I first became involved with the Midwest Independent Film Festival as a panel moderator, or part of a panel. Actually, I did that first.
Okay.
I was on a panel with Julia Sweeney. For it was ahead of a female filmmakers' night.
Is this Julia Sweeney from SNL?
Yes.
Oh
yes.
Wow!
Who is a
very
lovely
cool.
person. Mm-hmm. She could not have been nicer. I like wanted to be best friends with her by the end of the night. I didn't want to be a creep and be like, "Can we hang out?"
But you want to be friends with Pat. I mean, that's come
you know what.
On.
Also, I was like, "Do not say anything about Pat. Do not say anything about Pat. Do not
even mention it.
Do not." If someone in the audience in the Q&A finally said, "Like, can you talk about Pat or something?" She was like, "Sure, yeah." She was so cool, like not an ounce of pretentiousness, just mm-hmm. the coolest person ever. So we were on a panel moderated by Melissa Thornley, who is a board member of the festival. And we had a lovely conversation. And that was really the first time I was involved with the festival. And I really liked everybody and everyone was so cool. And that was such a fun night at the Landmark in Lincoln Park. So after that, I've moderated panels here and there for them and gotten to know everybody involved with it better. And really, you know, the format is very special to me because it's not, you know, so many film festivals like go all year and then hit it very hard and have this like week long mm-hmm, thing. Mm-hmm. So this is the first Tuesday of every single month. So this is a like this ongoing conversation in the film community, which I think is very cool. Mm-hmm. So there's always networking beforehand. And then there's a little producers panel that's like a really short panel focused around a topic. Sometimes it's like distribution. Sometimes that conversation is around animation or, you know, funding or just different things. So it's a shorter conversation. It's usually about 25, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then the screening starts and several films are screened. Sometimes it's a feature and a short. Sometimes it's several shorts. It really just depends on the night and how it kind of came together with programming. And then afterwards, all the filmmakers are invited up to have a little Q&A, talk back. And then there's always an after party at a nearby watering hole.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of networking. And what I think is very cool is that in that Q&A section at the beginning, in the producers panel, I have been so delighted when people just entering the film industry feel safe enough to ask the question that they might be tempted to preface with, this might be a dumb question, but particularly when I see, you know, young women sitting there going like, okay, you said this about distribution and I was writing this down, but that cut off. Can you explain this part a little bit more? I'm new to this and I'm trying to figure this out for myself right now.
Yes.
And I think that's so cool because to me that said, okay, this festival and its community has done a good job of like setting space for newcomers to feel welcome. And it's not this like only people with Oscars may play in this space. It's very inclusive in that way. And I really just want to build on that.
Yeah. Because when I was reading a few interviews that you had done about this, you talked about creating a culture. And could you speak on how you create a creative culture?
Well, I think you approach it like community organizing. You know, I think you have to have a lot of conversations. You have to listen without agenda, right? You know, you have to just say, what does this community need and how can I serve them? And, you know, in so many of the things that I do through Association for Women Journalists and just other projects that I do, it's such a theme of access and that I want everybody to have a fair shot at everything, you know? And the world's just not set up that way. The world's set up to privilege some people more than others. And, you know, if you have a lot of money, let's say, I don't begrudge you that. That's great. Have your money. But also, you know, recognize that some very talented people don't have that kind of money. So I think it's important to have that kind of conversation with people of what does this community need? And person to person, what do you need in your film career? What does that mean? Does that mean access? Do you feel heard or not? What would help you feel heard? How could we have more conversations about funding your projects or distributing your projects or things like that? So I think that you know, by virtue of this festival being in Chicago, it's obviously a little more connected to Chicago than other parts of the Midwest. But phenomenal film work is happening around the Midwest. I mean, right now in Detroit and in Flint, Omaha's doing cool. I mean, there's just like so much cool, you know, stuff happening in the Midwest. Even like broader, I mean, I think there's lots of definitions of like what is Midwest, right? But
yeah.
There's just so much cool stuff happening because now's an interesting time in the film industry. We just saw Tangerine a couple years ago shot an iPhone 6S.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because there's so many creative mediums that you can use now, and seeing how people are diving into this makes me feel like my education, I should have been learning about iPhone creation in high school rather than algebra, I feel like sometimes, because I see these kids who are doing these incredible things.
Yeah. You know, a friend of mine, and I sent her a note when this role was announced because I was so interested in film. I always have been. And it's always seemed like such a logical extension of journalism. But then outside of documentary, I've always loved movies and love so many of them. And I really love weird and experimental and cool stuff. I love just all of it. It's so interesting. So I was a friend of mine. She's an engineer. And I think around late 30s, early 40s or so, she said, you know what? I'm going to film school. And she did. And she's a very talented filmmaker and an engineer. Like, she's very, very smart and very talented. And I kept bugging her, like, can I just, like, shadow you? Can I just watch? I just want to learn. I want to be around this. And I was about to go on a road trip because I was promoting my novel, Three Fallen Women, at the time. So this was around 2006, 2007. And I kept thinking, like, well, is there something really cheap I could just buy to just learn film or audio or something? And she, right before I left on my road trip for my book tour, she packed up a camera and some sound gear and shoved it in a camera bag and handed it to me. And she said, you know what? You learn by doing. Just film everything, every stupid thing you find, every cool thing you find, just film. You're going to be gone for a while. Just film your head off.
Mm-hmm.
And the first couple of things I filmed were stupid and terrible, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I called her several times, like, where's the button that makes this happen? You know, I just didn't. No, I didn't know that it was a cool Sony camera that I now would feel way more comfortable with. But at the time, I was just like, wow, this is this big professional looking camera. What do I do? And I didn't quite know. I was like, all I knew about sound was what I know, like, from radio. And that's like, get near the microphone,
mm-hmm,
but not
mm-hmm.
necessarily how to get room sound and capture the sound of the area around you and what that means. And so
yes,
by the time
yes.
I got back from that trip, I had captured sound from my grandparents' farm. I had interviewed my grandfather who recently died, and I'm so glad I have that now. And I had figured out how to get like a shot by wedging the camera onto the dashboard of my car, and how to like get some cool B-roll by driving with it kind of sticking out the window. And like, I was driving by myself, so it was like terribly dangerous. But, you know, I learned a lot from just, she was right. Just, you learn by doing. She mm-hmm. said, I didn't waste my time by going to film school, but I learned more by just going out in the field and making terrible, stupid mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent her a note, and I, you know, she said something like, I'm so, you know, excited for you and proud of you. This is exciting. And I was like, you know, I really have you to thank for handing me that camera that day and loaning me a camera for a couple of months. That changed everything because it gave me a lot of, you know, a lot more confidence in that space. And from there, I just kind of started realizing the, you know, when I was at the Tribune shortly after that, I started seeing the value of attaching video to stories and mm-hmm. adding video elements to things. And, you know, I just kind of, film's always been there. I kind of think in pictures anyway.
Yes, yes. It's so interesting hearing you discuss how people are creating nowadays and how you needed to dive in with your friend, because you had mentioned education and these people who are at these at the film festival asking these very menial questions of just how does this happen, and this is a dumb question, but I need to know, how do you create that sound from the window, or how did you get that shimmer in his eyes like at that point? And I feel like you're bringing an education to this festival that maybe some people don't realize is there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really intimidating to start out. And at the end of the day, even the most professional set you could possibly be on with a ton of funding attached to it and the best, fanciest equipment,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you're still just going to need to like gaff tape something together and keep going.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think once you realize we're all kind of in that soup and we're all just doing our best, and that sometimes crazy stuff happens and you just have to keep going, or sometimes accidents happen and it makes it 10 times awesomer because mm-hmm. that happened, that I think there's a lot of creative freedom in knowing that, hey, even, you know, even these really well-established directors and producers make mistakes and are open to mistakes, which I think is key. You can't freak out about a mistake. You have to go, oh, actually, that looked kind of cool, even though, you know, a semi-truck drove by and flashed light on my set, but actually it looked neat. Let's go with it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think you have to be open to those kind of things. And I think too, you know, Chicago has for so long been a space where there's a lot of commercial work. And so people are doing industrial kind of films, things like that, and commercial stuff. And I think, so, you know, we have so many talented people here that are doing like such an array of things. It's amazing to me, you know, like as I stepped in this role, I got access to the submissions queue on Film Freeway.
Ooh.
And so I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm just like, this is going to be the hardest part of this job because everything's so great and so interesting. And you can go from like, here's a horror short. And the next thing is like this silent art film. Hmm. And then the next thing is a feature. And then the next thing is like a music video. And the next thing, I mean, it's so exciting to look at, like, look at all this stuff that's happening right here within a day drive from us.
You're in it, yeah. I'm sure. What is Film Freeway? I've never heard of that.
Film Freeway is the thing that has saved many people from having anxiety attacks. It is a submission queue manager for film festivals. So you, the filmmaker, make your account on Film Freeway, and you can upload your film and like all the, you know, press materials, write the description, and then you don't have to redo that every single time you submit your film. So Midwest Independent Film Festival, we're on Film Freeway. And so you, the filmmaker, just you find us and you say, okay, what are the next deadlines? I will submit. And then you fill out our form, but we automatically, you don't have to upload it every time. You just like get it.
That's so it's an end all be all for filmmakers.
It's very handy. And you can,
Film Freeway.
So you can kind of like the search tools are really great on Film Freeway. You can kind of search by, okay, I only want to enter, you know, a lot of festivals, there's like a cost to enter because mm-hmm. you're sometimes paying people to review them. So you can search like, okay, what's in my budget is I only want film festivals with under $50 fee. So that'll show you that. Or you can say, I only want them in this region or this state or this city or this time of year. Or I have a, you know, super experimental short horror film. I only need that genre. Or I'm doing animation or whatever. You can find the film festival that works for you. You can search internationally. It's a phenomenal tool.
Wow. You know, many times I've looked back and thought, this is the greatest time to be alive because everything has already been created.
There's a thing for everything right now.
And
it's totally true.
We need to do as little work as possible
and every
just
time
find
I,
it.
And every time I think, oh, someone should make that, I go Google and I'm like, oh, that's made. That exists.
It was made in 2015.
Yeah,
all right, now I need
totally
to.
Totally exist and is really well funded. Hooray for my brain coming to that party late. Yeah. Yeah, so filmmakers can submit through Film Freeway. And because it is a year-long festival, we don't do an event in July because we partner with the city, which we just did the other night. And it was very fun. We did a screening of High Fidelity at Millennium Park, which is such a fun, perfect Chicago film.
Great Chicago film. John Cusack.
It was so fun. And it was fun to sit there on the lawn and watch that film. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, surrounded by, you know, not only friends of the festival and volunteers and board members, but also around me were just total strangers. Mm-hmm. Some were young people seeing it for the first time. Some people were like, man, I haven't seen this movie since it came out. And, you know, sitting there and hearing all the musical references in it and seeing like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot that person was in that film. You know, it was fun to sit there and watch it in a crowd like that, in an environment where it was okay to talk. You know, not like a movie theater. So that's what we do in July. And then it's otherwise the first Tuesday of every month. We take January off. The end of the year, in December, that's the Best of the Midwest Awards, the BMAs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very exciting, big party. It's very fun. I presented an award a couple years ago at that event. And then throughout the remaining months, we have different themes. We have like one night that's devoted to the advertising community and shorts that are associated with that community and done by them. And then we have female filmmakers night that's coming up. We present that in connection with Canon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's female filmmakers in the Midwest doing this cool work. And I've been to that every year and it's so fun to be on the programming side of it now.
Yeah.
So that's going to be cool. We're also, I cannot say what yet, but we're adding a new element to it this year, which is going to be exciting. I think it's going to really just bring that night and the work of those filmmakers to a lot of other people. And it's going to be very cool.
You guys are doing such great things. And the anticipation of what's going to happen in the next few months is very exciting, too.
Thanks. I mean, I'm really excited to, you know, I'm still in the mode. I mean, I haven't been in the job a week yet, right? So
yeah.
I'm still in the mode. I'm still kind of in the mode of like, learn all the things, look at all the stuff, learn everybody's name, you know, all that kind of stuff. But everybody is so great and has been really generous with time and let me know what you need, how I can help you. And it's, you know, there's a lot of wonderful, you know, everything's well organized and ready to, you know, pretty seamlessly step in. And, you know, now it's just a matter of, you know, what can we build on and what can we do next?
I love it. So, Amy, you might not know this about me, but I at one time was a documentary filmmaker myself.
I think I did know that about you. I think that you've told me that before.
I love what you said, like picking up the camera and just capturing life.
Yeah.
And when I was in college at Southern Utah University, I entered my film From Chicago to Los Angeles, the story of a young girl who wanted to make it on the open mic scene.
Mm.
And I filmed my friend who would come from Chicago and we traveled to Los Angeles, seeing her play shows, seeing people's reactions. And it actually won Best Documentary at Southern Utah. Granted, the school was about 3,000 people and I was maybe the only documentary. That needs to be,
hey,
without saying.
You know what? Best documentary is best documentary.
That's right.
Go with it. You take those laurels and you go with it.
Or Yanni's. Right. And what I want to – I still hold the certificate on my wall because it's important. But if someone is out there right now in Chicago, they have a film, a small film. How do they enter it? What is too small to get in? Like, can you just be a guy on the street with his iPhone doing a few Instagram shorts? Or what kind of production needs to go into it for it to qualify at the Midwest Film Festival?
Well, you know what? I think one thing that I think will be important to add is that I want to be really transparent and thoughtful about what is the criteria that the screening committee is using mm-hmm. to judge the films. Because it's more than just, okay, yes or no, is it Midwest enough?
Yes, yes.
Right. I want to tell you, like, is the production value there? Is the sound design there? Is the acting there? You know, all those elements that go into making a film good. As for, you know, shot on a smartphone, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's fine with me. I mean, if it's a compelling story and if it's a good film and the production value is there, by all means. But also, you know, I think I've said this a lot in journalism as far as editors go, and I think absolutely the same applies here. And that is, I think sometimes young journalists are afraid to submit their work to editors because they're like, they're going to be mean. There's these like big, bad gatekeepers. And the thing is, if your story that you pitch an editor is great, you've just solved that editor's problem for the day by giving them content, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's very much the same way with submitting a film to a festival. If you knock it out of the park, you've just solved a programming spot for me. I want your film to be great. Mm-hmm. I will take no delight in being like, yeah, no. Like, that's not going to be, I'm not going to enjoy that at all.
Slam that door.
Yeah, never do mm-hmm. that. I mean, mm-hmm. that said, I had early in my career, you know, we've all faced plenty of rejection in our lives. And oh my God, when I was like trying to sell my book, I had someone say, I have no idea why you're writing. I have no idea why you call yourself a journalist.
Wow.
The fact that you could ever be employed in journalism is a mystery to me. No one will ever hire you. You don't know what you're doing. I don't think you're smart. Ugh. Like, this person just, like, you know, reached into my chest and pulled my heart out and drop kicked it across the room. And I was just like, wow, oh, that was terrible. And then I sat on that for a while and I was like, that person is so wrong. I don't believe them. And that's what you have to do. You just be like, I just don't believe you. I choose not to believe you. And the problem is with rejection is if someone's confirming your worst fear about yourself, mm-hmm. they're like, maybe I do suck. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. You know, then it's hard to recover from that. But you just have to go, you know what? You're wrong.
Yes. And that's a great way to grow, because sometimes I feel like the universe kind of puts those people in your life for a reason. It's like a turning point where you can go, well, I can either agree with this person and then crumble, let their words just weigh on me, or I can prove them wrong. And this is kind of the kick that I need. Because if you're thinking about it, you're living your life in one direction and you need these little pushes to go into a different rail. And sometimes if you use those negatives in the right way, who knows what could happen?
Yeah. I mean, I think, too, it's important for us all to be clear on why we're doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, are you doing the work you're doing because you want awards and money? Or are you doing the work because you have stories burning inside of you that you want to tell? Mm-hmm. And if you are doing it because you want to tell good stories, then just keep telling stories. You don't need anybody's permission to do that. You know, that's the thing. I think a lot of young filmmakers and young writers get really caught up in, like, I for example, I know someone peripherally who has like been working on, let me use that language, is gonna sit down and write a book for the last 11 years.
Yes,
you know what
99%
I mean?
Of people who are in the creative space live that life.
Yeah, and I get it, right? Sometimes there's frustrating, you know, stuff that goes along with doing creative work, because if you're doing it right, it's vulnerable and you're opening your heart to the page or the camera or the whatever you're doing. So I get that. Sometimes it's kind of exhausting, but also, you know, you got to be clear on why you're doing it. You don't need anyone's permission to do it. You know, I think some people are like, one day when I'm a writer, I was like, you've been writing for years. You are a writer. Just because you're not making a living as a writer or a filmmaker or whatever, you're still a filmmaker. You're still a writer. And I think it's important to be clear on that. You know, some filmmakers I know are like, I've never had a film distributed, but I've made 19 of them. And I've learned something every time, and I get better at it every time, and it's less drama every time because I know what I'm doing more.
Yes.
To me, that's successful. That's 19 films that you've made. That's cool. So I just think it's a matter of clarity and being really like, if you're clear, if you know I am here to tell stories, then nothing will derail you. Nothing can throw you off your game, because then it's not about laurels or awards or money or accolades. It's just like, I just want to tell stories in mediums that fit them.
Yes.
And then you're very clear and in such an unshakable way. And it doesn't matter if someone says you suck or not, because you're like, that's your deal. I am here to tell stories.
Yeah. It's you. What you were meant to be. I mean, Shakespeare said we are all players in a play.
On the world stage. Right?
On the world stage. Yeah. So it's just a matter of what you want to do and keeping that focus. Yeah. I remember when I was working at a bank for many years. For a year out of college, and I thought, how do these people get on the radio? And I didn't even know what step one was. I didn't know anybody, but I knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do it, and I just strived to get into that space. And it's just these little tiny footsteps, but you need to be able to put in the work.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
the thing. You gotta. I mean, so many people are like, how do I write a book? How do I, you know, make a film? I'm like, well, you can talk about it all day, and you can seek out mentors, and you should do that. But eventually, you've got to just like sit your butt down and write.
Yeah.
Or eventually, you need to get a hold of a camera and start shooting. Mm-hmm. Even if you throw half of it away, you're going to learn a lot just by, I'm just going to get this camera and go walk around. Start with your B-roll. If you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing, just go play with a camera, and you're going to learn, wow, that looks terrible when I do it that way. I'm going to do this. And little by little, you can start adding things to your bag of, you know, skills, your repertoire, and you will eventually feel a lot more confident.
I love it. Amy, it was a pleasure talking to you today.
Pleasure talking with you.
Executive Director of the Midwest Independent Film Festival. Before I let you go, though, I need to ask one pressing question.
Oh, no, what?
You said no gotcha questions.
Oh, God.
I got you one. So Morrissey is canceled or postponed over 127 concerts since 2012.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, is this a creative endeavor himself, or does he just like to mess with us?
I wish I knew the answer to that. I mean, as a longtime Smiths and Morrissey fan, which might be appearing in future documentary work.
Okay.
I have asked myself that many times. I have a strategy, and that is wherever his first couple of concert dates are, just wherever it is, just go there, because he's not going to ever make it through the tour. Like, even if Chicago is like his 15th city, nope. If the second or third city is like the middle of nowhere, drive there. Drive there, go there, because then you will see him. I used to think that it was a thing he did to stir interest.
Mm-hmm.
Now I kind of think that he like feels ambitious and then bites off more than he can chew. And he like doesn't, I don't think he tours well, which I get, because that would be hard to like, sure, I'll just live in hotel rooms and perform to strangers that are screaming at me every night. That would be exhausting. I can't imagine being a musician. So I think it's a matter of like his heart's in the right place, and he wants to serve his fans. And then he gets, I don't know, 5 or 6 dates out, and he's like, man, I'm so tired. I'm done here. Cancel it. I don't know. That's what I want to think anyway. I tend to give people like a very charitable view of their actions.
That's very kind of you. That's very kind of you. Again, that's Amy Guth. Thank you so much for your time. This is Michael with WGN Radio.